The Service to America medals honor federal employees who go above and beyond their job descriptions to serve the public. Now, for the next few months, Federal News Radio is speaking to the finalists. As a diplomat, you don't seek out the easy life, and that's certainly true for our next guest. He spent 2 years on a mission that has frustrated the world, trying to rid Africa of one of its oldest and most brutal extremist groups. Until recently, John Gandomi was the State Department's field representative for the Counter Lord's Resistance Army mission, and he joins us now to talk about it. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So first of all, what exactly was your mission with regard to the Lord's Resistance Army, which, for those who don't know, is basically an armed militia, the leader of it still very much on the loose? That's Joseph Kony. What was your mission?
That's right. I was the one civilian from the State Department who was embedded with 100 U.S. Special Forces spread out among Uganda, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the South Sudan, and Central African Republic, who were assisting African Union forces to try to rid the region of Joseph Kony and his armed group, the Lord's Resistance Army. This group has been responsible for the deaths of over 100,000 people over the last 20 years and the abduction of about 20,000 children, which he turned into either child soldiers or sex slaves. So it's one of the longest running conflicts in Africa, and we're close to coming to an end of that chapter.
I have so many questions for you about Joseph Kony, but first I want to ask you about your job. What was your day-to-day like?
My day-to-day was I was the partner for our special forces. So I was working with them in different communities in the region to help promote defections. So I was traveling with them to different remote locations across the region. I was also working in our embassies to make sure that our policies that we were promoting in the region were consistent with what we needed in the field. And I was reporting to Washington as well, so it was a kind of a mix of things in the capitals as well as really remote locations in places that I never thought I'd ever go to.
I'm sure. How do you promote defections? I mean, who do you talk to and what do you say?
Well, there's basically no infrastructure out in this area. It's an area the size of California, and it's an extremely dense vegetated area. So we're using what limited radio that exists out there to put people on air that know some of the people in the LRA, that encourage them to leave. We're also dropping hundreds of thousands of leaflets outside of the back of an airplane, which show pictures of people that have defected and returned. These are actually quite effective. They're very basic kind of rudimentary tools, but we were using them often, and they were working.
And how do you know that they're working? I mean, how can you keep metrics on this sort of thing?
Oh, when people walk out of the bush and they're holding a leaflet and they said, you know, I've been in the LRA for 15 years and it's been a nightmare, and you know, seeing this leaflet or hearing this radio message that of people saying that it was okay for me to come home, then it finally gave me the courage to do so and to kind of break away from Joseph Kony.
And who were the people? I mean, first of all, how old were these people? I mean, we know that there are a lot of child soldiers that were involved in the LRA. So how old were these people who escaped? And then how did you help them after they came and said, we've left the LRA, now what do we do?
Right. I mean, their ages, you know, span anywhere from, you know, people that are, you know, in their 30s that had been in the LRA for up to 20 years because they were abducted as children in the 90s or the late 80s, or people that, you know, that were basically born in the bush and have known no other life. So it's a wide range. Usually the leader of a group is a Ugandan male, probably somewhere in his late 20s or early 30s. And, sometimes they come out in ones and twos. You know, we had a group late last year that came out that there were 19 of them. That was the largest defection of an LRA group we've ever had. When they come out, there's a variety of things that we try to do to help them reintegrate back into their home communities. It's really tough. I mean, they've been basically living as, you know, as in a parallel universe, being forced to kill, abduct, steal from villages. And that kind of, you know, if you're forced to do that as a child, you become part of that because of the psychology of guilt and shame. And so it's very difficult for them to break away from that. But when they do, you know, they can start to create a new life for themselves. So we try to give them some initial support in terms of resettling back to their community, some psychosocial services. A lot of this occurs through NGOs that are in the communities. Those are very important. They play an important role, but it certainly doesn't begin to erase the trauma that they experienced for so many years.
And where were you yourself based during most of this time?
I was based at our embassy in Uganda, mm-hmm. and that's where our special forces headquarters is also based. And we would fly out of there to the remote locations in the region.
And how did you win trust among people who might never have seen Americans before?
That's a terrific question. Actually, you know, this region has kind of undergone a lot of turmoil and trauma because of the LRA. And when the U.S. showed up and sent boots on the ground, it was an amazing thing for them. They never would have thought that this issue would have risen to the attention of the international community or that the U.S. would have dedicated their own forces to it. So there was a lot of goodwill about the United States in the region. I spent 0% of my time trying to convince people that this was an issue that we should be working on together. They were extremely thankful. So many people, you know, in very remote corners are telling me, please tell President Obama, please tell your government that we're so glad that you're here. So it was mainly an issue of just trying to kind of stitch together these different disparate efforts to kind of build a regional coalition. That was something I spent most of my time doing.
Fascinating. We're speaking with John Gandomi. He is the former field representative for the Counter Lord's Resistance Army mission. And this is in some ways reminiscent of what's happening in Nigeria right now with this effort to bring back the girls, the hundreds of kidnapped schoolgirls who still remain missing. Why has the international community not been able to find Jonathan Kony?
Joseph Kony, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. It's not just finding a needle in a haystack. It's like finding a needle in like 30 or 40 different haystacks. It's extremely difficult. We're using 100 U.S. forces who's supporting about 2,000 African Union soldiers. But again, they're spread out around an area the size of California that has extremely dense vegetation. We think we've made a lot of progress in whittling down the LRA. There are a lot fewer attacks than we've had, than when we started the mission. The number of abductions has decreased. People are returned back to their homes that were displaced because of the conflict. But Joseph Kony is still out there. He's extremely good at hiding. And it turns out if you're in a jungle and you don't want to be found, it's hard to find that person.
And you yourself, you're quite young, if I might say. In your nomination form, it says you're only 34. This is a really intense job. Give me some sense of your past experience and training that prepared you for this role.
Well, I came right into this role after doing two tours in Afghanistan. So that was part of the reason why I signed up for the State Department. And a bureau that does this type of work at the State Department, it's called the Conflict and Stabilization Operations, CSO. And I joined this organization about 6 years ago. And this is the kind of work that they get involved in. The work I was doing in Afghanistan was working with Afghan government officials and their own ministries, kind of beyond the wire. And did that for 2 years before I moved on to this work in Uganda.
And were there special challenges because you were the only civilian doing this type of work among the armed forces? Seems like you had a lot of responsibility. You had a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, you're a team of one. But as I quickly found, you know, working with U.S. Special Forces is a tremendous opportunity, and I really enjoyed it. They're terrific at what they do. Some of them hadn't worked with a civilian before from the State Department. You know, there was a period of explaining what my role was and how we could all kind of work together. But you find that when you kind of have the same objective. And they see that you can add value to the mission, it can quickly become a strong partnership. And I'm extremely thankful for all for the strong partnership I found in our special forces. They're top notch. They're terrific, and I can't say enough about them.
And tell us a bit about what you're doing now. You're now at the National Security Council at the White House. Is it a related mission from what you were doing in Uganda?
Well, I'm still responsible for the LRA mission. I cover Central Africa at the National Security Council. So that includes the area that the Lord's Resistance Army operates, but it includes kind of a broader part of Central Africa. That includes Central African Republic and the Great Lakes region and Rwanda, Burundi, and Congo. So I still have to work on the LRA mission, and I get the ability to do that, but it's a bit of a broader portfolio now.
And since you've gone from the State Department to the NSC, how has your perspective changed on these issues?
How's my perspective? It's a great question. I mean, I think being able to participate in the national decision-making process is extremely interesting, and it's hard work. It's almost the exact opposite of what I was doing in Uganda, which was extremely field based. This is entirely policy based. The very other end of the tube. I think my perspective, I think it's amazing to see how many people in the government are working so hard to get to the right outcome. And when you're kind of off by yourself. Working with special forces or in an embassy, you can kind of you can easily forget that you're part of this larger organ in the U.S. government. And I think being able to kind of sit from the National Security Council, you really do see how all of these different parts work together, and how everyone is trying hard to try to get the right outcome. So I think that's been an interesting insight that I've been able to see in the last, I've been there about 4 months.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in whatever you do next. Don Gandomi is a former field representative for the Counter Lord's Resistance Army mission. He's now at the National Security Council. John, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.